And let's just pray as we delve into that word. Lord, we do thank you for scripture. Lord, we thank you for its truth. Lord, we thank you for how it can challenge us and shape us and mold us in the image of Christ. And so we pray that today that would be the case, that we would leave this place more like Christ than we arrived. So Lord, would you dig deep with us as we study your word this morning. Challenge us, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if any of you have ever bought or been bought a cheap piece of jewellery. And it does the job for a little while, and then it starts to change colour, or maybe your skin might start to change colour, and you realise that it's a fake. And some of us would buy costume jewellery knowing that that's the purpose, but if you want a really good piece of jewellery, a real piece of jewellery, there's an easy way to find out if it's real, apart from the cost. Anyone know what that easy way is to find out if jewellery is real? Every piece of jewellery contains something. Every piece of genuine gold or silver has a hallmark. That's how we know. The hallmark tells us that it's real. So let me ask you this. What is the hallmark of a Christian? How do we know a Christian from the rest of the world? There are hallmarks of real followers of Jesus, and we heard in that passage today they are salt and light. That's how we know a Christian. And we're going to look at this passage this morning where Jesus calls us, calls you and I, as well as his first followers, to be salt and light. And in this passage, he tells us he wants us to be a people of influence, a people who make him known. And so this morning, we'll think about salt and light and we'll ask, what is Jesus talking about? What does he mean by salt and light? In this particular passage, it happens in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus goes up this mountain and he just sits down and on some grass and he begins to teach people, just ordinary people. And he begins with his disciples, really ordinary fishermen. And he tells them, you are now a beacon of truth and hope in this world. Ordinary people, but actually the light of God is in you. We are to be salt and light. I wonder who comes to mind for you when we think of that phrase where we say that people are salt of the earth kind of people. I'm sure you can picture someone that you would consider salt of the earth. Maybe it's someone who works hard or someone who's selfless. Maybe it's someone who's down to earth or just a decent character. Yet the challenge is that we are all to be salt of the earth. That is part of our identity as followers of Christ. So I wonder this morning, and I guess this is the kind of ongoing question throughout this, and the question I want us to take away, how good are we at being salt and light in Lisburn? So what qualities should we share with salt? Because it's a slightly random picture to call us salt. Well, in the ancient biblical world, in this kind of context that Jesus is speaking, salt is a really precious commodity. For us, it's kind of neither here nor there. It's so easily available to us. But actually, in the context that Jesus is speaking, salt was sometimes used as a currency. People were desperate to have it. In fact, sometimes Roman soldiers would have been paid in salt. Imagine that. You've done a month's work. You're looking forward to payday and someone hands you a bag of salt. I'm not sure that people in our culture would take too kindly to that. But in this culture, that was a good thing. Because salt could be used for many things. It could be sold on, but it could be used for things. I wonder, as you go home today to make your Sunday lunch, how many things you have stored up in your fridge? And actually, do you ever think that's a huge luxury that we take for granted? Because in the context in which Jesus is speaking, there is no fridge. They don't have a way to preserve their food like that. And if you think about the climate that they're in, that's a pretty hostile climate, that's a really warm place. Their food's going to go off very quickly, and so everything was covered in salt. It was a preservative. And Jesus says the same thing about us, that we are to preserve society. It's our job as Christians to preserve the holiness of God in this world. And I wonder, as you think back over your lifetime, how have you seen society step away from holiness? How have you seen society step away from God? And our calling is to preserve holiness. But salt is more than just a preservative. It's used to bring flavor. And Jesus says that is our job. We are to bring flavor in this world. What does that mean? It means we're meant to bring out the best in our communities, in our context, because we belong to Jesus. And that might be in school. I see Joel and Luke with us this morning. For those boys, it might be in school that you bring out the best in your class. For some of us, it's in the home, it's among our family, that we, even if it's a difficult family, we are to bring out the best in them. Maybe it's as you go out shopping in Lisburn, we really want to bless our city. As you go out shopping in Lisburn, how can you bring out the best in Bow Street? In the business world, we need people who will bring out the best. In politics, Lord knows we need it in politics. We are called to bring out the best in other people. We are called to bring flavor. You ever have that feeling after you've made and eaten something quite salty? Sometimes it happens with gammon or some of those kind of salty meats, and you're left with that feeling of just endless thirst. That is how we are called to live. We are called to make people thirsty. People should be desperate to know God because of you. Because of how you live your life, because of how you conduct yourself, people should be desperate to know God. How many people are desperate to know God because of you and I? It's quite a challenging question. But that is the purpose of our community. And if we aren't doing those things, if we aren't preserving, if we aren't bringing flavor, and if we aren't making people thirsty, then Jesus tells us that we are in danger of losing our saltiness. And in Matthew 5, he says this, "If salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." And so when you put our Christianity into that context, that's quite serious. This is not an opt-in thing. It might be difficult to understand how salt can lose its flavor because we have salt that's gone through so many processes to purify. We go to the shop and we buy, you can buy a box of salt or a tub of salt or a salt mill, and it's full of flavor. But the salt that Jesus is talking about here is from Palestine, from the Dead Sea. And the salt's not purified in the way that we know, but it's collected in deposits along the shore as it dries out. And that salt is exposed to all the elements of the seaside. And it begins to break apart, and it begins to lose its flavor, and it drifts off, and it's useless. And actually, that's what Jesus says to us, that our discipleship is like that, that actually we can leave it exposed to the elements. And it, over time, if we don't work on it, it will lose its vigor, lose its saltiness. And so I don't know where you're at this morning in terms of your relationship with Jesus. We're all at different places. And maybe you're on a mountaintop. I kind of feel, Sam, you're on a slight mountaintop. You've had a really good few months and just engaging with God and seeing God work. And that's a really great place to be. Perhaps you feel really far away from God. This is the challenge this morning, that we must work on our relationship with God if we are going to be real disciples. Jesus encourages us here, do not lose your distinctiveness as a Christian. You don't have to fit in with the world. You are to be distinctive. And sometimes that means we have to stand in opposition. Sometimes we have to defend the word of God, and that's not always an easy place to be. But more and more in our culture, Christians are being called to stand up. But if we lose our saltiness, if we lose our vigor, if we lose our energy for God, we're not going to be able to do that properly. We must take care of our relationship with Jesus if we're going to preserve, if we're going to preserve holiness, if we're going to bring out the best of our communities, and if we're going to make people thirst for God. So salt is to be at the core of who we are. So what about light? Because he says then, you are the light of the world. Think about that. Like we would say, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. How are we called to be the light of the world? This is another one of those images that sometimes contextually we don't really get the point, but only if we know the historical context. Have a think about your house. Take just a few seconds and count up how many lights and lamps are in your house. I would say in my house there's probably somewhere between 15 and 20. Available to us at the flick of a switch. Sometimes my mum used to tell me our house was like Blackpool Illuminations. I love lights on. That's my thing. Just turn lights on wherever I go. And it's so easy. We just go in and flick a switch and we can have as many lights as we want. Wasn't that easy in biblical times? They didn't have lights to flick on. So again, in this context, they understood how difficult it was to be light and to have light. In this context, a home might have had an oil lamp. And that was the only source of light for them, but it needed to be tended to often. There were no street lights the way we have. And so when Jesus speaks into this context, people really understand what darkness is. We don't really understand what darkness is, what literal darkness is. There's always light available to us. But for this context, they really understood darkness. And they understood that light lessened the chances of danger, of accidents or robbery, and so it lessened fear in people. And that is what Jesus says we are to do in the world. We are to lessen fear. We are to lessen danger in the world. And in our context, literal darkness is not the issue, but spiritual darkness certainly is. And you don't have to think very hard before you realize the dark statistics about our culture, about debt and addiction, abortion, suicide. Our political situation has left us in a state of darkness and confusion. I'm learning words this week that I've never heard. Things in politics that have never happened before. We are in confusion and darkness. I wonder if you ever wakened in the middle of the night and you've wakened out of a sleep and you see something, you can kind of make out some kind of shape or figure and it takes you a moment to work out, what is that? What is that shape? And that is the spiritual state of our society. People see this vague shape of God, but they don't really understand. The Bible constantly tells us the world is in darkness. I'm sure you would agree with that. So many people blinded from the truth, don't know where to go. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are responsible for lighting up the darkness. We're surrounded by people who have this vague idea of God, but they're in darkness, they're in turmoil in their lives. But until you and I bring light, then God will not be seen properly. Take that challenge on board seriously. God will only be seen in some context if you and I bring the light. And that tiny bit of light that you carry as an individual can make a huge difference in someone's darkness. It really and truly can. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A huge privilege that God would call us those things. The thing that we call Jesus, the light of the world, God calls us those things. I mean, I think you're all great, but God thinks you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But this is not for us to feel good. We don't read this and think, oh, God thinks I'm great. It's not for us to sit back and think, I'm all right, God thinks I'm pretty good. This is a high calling. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That is a command to go. To go out into the world. I love how Paul describes Christians in Philippians chapter 2. He says this, that we need to be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. For us to really be salt and light, we have to be out there. We can't really be salt and light in here. We've got to be out there. Otherwise, we're pointless. Otherwise, we lose our usefulness. You have to be in contact with the people who are in darkness in order to bring light. Think about it. When God changed the world, he became a man. He sent Jesus to live among us. God came near. Emmanuel, God with us. He didn't say safely in heaven. And we cannot change the world if we stay inside this church. So how do we be salt and light? How can you be salt and light in your particular context? Well, think about your environment. Think about where you are on a daily basis. Are you in work? Are you in school? Are you in your family? Are you out and about in Lisburn? And then ask yourself, how can you change someone's circumstance? How could you change someone's day even? Start with small things if you need to. But how can you change the atmosphere? Think about if you're part of a team at work, and because they know that you're a Christian, they think twice about a decision. That's a good thing. You have become salt and light. Your influence has affected the atmosphere. Or if you're in a particular circle where you spend a lot of time with non-churched people or people from difficult backgrounds, perhaps they begin to call a halt to some of their behaviours while you're there. Perhaps how they phrase things or whether they take the Lord's name in vain or curse or something like that, maybe they'll stop because you're there. That's a good thing. You have influenced that atmosphere. If you're with people who gossip all the time, and they begin to cut it down when you're there, that's a good thing. You've influenced that atmosphere. But if we're going to influence the world, if we're going to change people's lives, then we have to be present. Salt and light transforms, and it takes transformed people to transform communities. And we are able to do it because we have power, because we are sent by God. 2 Corinthians 4 says this, "For God said, 'Let light shine out of darkness. Made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ.'" We have everything we need to be salt and light. So as I close this morning, I want to ask each and every one of you, and I want to ask us as a community as well, are we truly living out the calling God has for us? Are you living as salt and light? Because we have the power to change the world. We have the power to change our politics. We have the power to change our society. I'll read this passage again that we read this morning from Matthew, but I'll read it in a different translation. Some of these words will be familiar to you. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up to God, this generous Father that we have in heaven. That's a huge calling on our lives. So let's commit to that this week. Let's commit to being salt and light wherever we go. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your high calling on our lives. And we realize it's difficult sometimes, and we're awkward about it sometimes, and we're embarrassed about it sometimes. But we want you to help us this week as we go out into our individual contexts, Lord, as we meet people. Let us change the atmosphere because we bring you. Let us be salt. Let us be light. Lord, we pray that you would have your way in us this week. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.